be his wonderful name. Would you come to worship him tonight? That's my desire tonight. Hallelujah. Blessed be his wonderful name.
Well, we're sure glad to be back here again this evening and just excited about what the Lord has done and what he's doing and what he's going to do. And we were certainly blessed last night. Amen. How many can say, I was blessed? Blessed be his wonderful name. We had Brother Eli. He preached a masterpiece last night, I believe. Sometimes we say, well, that was a masterpiece. But, you know, actually, I think there's a better way of saying it, especially since the word has come open to us in this age. We ought to know. If we don't know, who does? So I would rather say that was a piece of the master. Amen? Because I believe that came from him. Right, and he was a faithful servant to allow the Lord to use him, and there's just so many wonderful things that were said. And Brother Eli titled the thought last night "Perfect Unity," not just unity, but perfect unity. And you know, it just reminded us of how we're living in a uniting time, a uniting season, and how, I mean, getting together is not hard, right? There is uniting taking place across the globe. You know, even the internet is a form of uniting. You know, it's everything pulling together from one mind that's up here in the cloud somewhere, and then they want to get on us about a cloud. You know, we had that term first. Yeah, and it's been all through the scriptures. Amen. But we're plugged into that one mind and one accord. So all of that is just showing what, you know, God does things first. It's his plan. Satan is just he's a counterfeiter. He's a copier, a perverter. But God's idea was the first idea. And so Satan, he knows the scripture. He knows that this is a uniting time. And he knows that the Son of Man has found a place to lay his head finally on a body here at the end of the church ages, and he's going to and is having preeminence in a body. So what does he do? He comes up with his version of unity, right? So it's easy to get together. It's easy to get together. That isn't the issue, right? The challenge is getting together around the word, right? And there's only, you know, we're not trying to whittle anything down. Everyone's invited. We want everyone to gather together around the word, right? But not everybody's going to do that. They're going to say, well, you know, who's preaching or what do you believe or this or that or the other, right? And that will determine whether or not we can get together, right? I'm so thankful that we don't have to interpret the word. It's already been interpreted for us. I'm thankful that we don't have to look to somebody to tell us that this is what it means or that's what it means. God restored his word just as he said he would, and he always sends a prophet to at any major event in history, whenever there's a corner being turned, surely the Lord will do nothing except he first reveal it to his servants, the prophets. And that's the pattern all the way through the scripture, Amos 3:7. So I believe that's what we're doing, you know, it's an honor and a privilege, and I just want to thank everyone. That we know that there are still more that are coming, and I want to thank everyone that's here tonight, that's made an effort to come to these meetings, and we're just excited about what the Lord has for us, and we believe that he knew before the foundation of the world what we would be doing this week and what he has for us. What, you want to give me another microphone? Is that it? I don't believe it's this sensitive. Let's do this instead, okay? I've got it right here in front of my face. I mean, if I'm moving it a half an inch.
I'll use this.
Old-fashioned technology, but it works. Amen. Blessed be his wonderful name. Are you happy?
Yeah.
Is the Lord good to you?
Yeah.
Okay, the rest of you that didn't say amen, what do we got to do to make you happy? I'm happy. And we ought to be the happiest people on the face of the earth. Right? Blessed be his wonderful name. Blessed be his name. So I don't want to take much more of your time because Brother Andy's going to take the service here this evening. Brother Andy Schuler, we're excited to have him take the service here tonight. And but Brother Eli pointed out three essential principles for a drama. I just thought that was so wonderfully put, you know, that there's a unity of action that has to take place. There's a unity of place or a uniting of place. And there's a uniting of time. So it has to be the right time, the right place, the right word. We have to be in the right part of the script, and just very wonderful. And the thing about it that is so wonderful is that this isn't difficult. What's difficult is for us to expect this to work, and we're on another sheet of music, or we're in another time, or in the wrong place, or we're claiming the wrong promise. It's just recognizing, here's the script for today. Here's your part in it. Now do your part. Right? Surrender and let the Lord fulfill that part. And that was a key that was given to us last night, because if you do that, you should have full expectation that God is going to do what he said he would do. Right? You don't have to pump it up, work it up, you know, get some certain minister to come. We appreciate all the ministry that God has given us, but the key is for us to just do what we're supposed to do. Right? God'll do what he said he was going to do if we do our part. So anyway, so many wonderful things that were said, and we certainly appreciate that, and just thought it was real fitting for the first service of these special meetings. And but now it's another day. So it also happened to coincidentally be Ash Wednesday yesterday, and 4 years ago on Ash Wednesday, which I think it was also Valentine's Day, if I remember correctly, Sister Baker and I were here late, and we rearranged all the chairs and got everything in order, and we were excited we were going to have our annual meetings in this building for the first time, and we were standing in the back. Sister Baker and I put our arms around one another, and we felt satisfied that everything was in order, and then we got a call at 4 o'clock in the morning from the police department and from the fire department telling us that our church was on fire, and so we had to come down here as well as some other brothers here in the church, and sure enough, a fire was started. There were windows here, actually every place you see an arch on the outside, there were windows, and somebody had broke one of these windows, put in a something, Molotov cocktail, whatever, started a fire, and if you look at the ceiling, you can see the scar, the leftovers of it. It was kind of a I mean, I don't want to go through it again, but it was a blessing in disguise in many ways, because this ceiling was painted with dark brown. Don't you hate the 60s and the 70s? Dark wood, you know, these big iron light fixtures with chains so that Tarzan can swing on them. You know, just, anyway. We had no idea the beauty that was the hidden treasure that was underneath that paint. So they had to blast, taking care of the smoke damage and the fire damage. They blasted the ceiling with like crushed walnut shells and some other things, I think. And lo and behold, this beautiful woodwork came out, and it's so beautiful. So I was initially a little perturbed, because I thought, you know, you could have spent a little bit more time and got rid of every bit of that fire damage, you know. And but then just thinking about it for just a short while, I kind of like it, because it's you know, it's like things we go through in life, it'll leave a scar, but that scar's a reminder of what God did for you and what God brought you through, right? We went through the fire and came out the other side. And at natural types of spiritual, every one of us must go through the fire before we go over to the other side. John said, "I verily baptize you with water, but there's one coming after me that will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire." And then Peter tells us about the fiery trials. He said, "Don't think it strange. You know, you're going to go through these fiery trials, but you're going to come forth as gold. So, or think of them as more precious than gold." So, anyway, here we are. So we moved our meetings about 2 weeks out from when we normally do, because we were trying to avoid the Gem and Mineral Show and the rodeo. The Gem and Mineral Show just seems to get bigger and bigger each year, and we're competing for resources. So we thought, well, let's just move it, not knowing that, you know, Ash Wednesday would fell on Wednesday again this year. And well, we made it through that, and we didn't have another fire. So far, so good, right? Anyway, here we are tonight. We're just so thankful that you were able to make it, and just looking forward to what the Lord has for us this week. So if you'll just bear with me for just a moment, as we mentioned last night, we have Brother Roshan Masih from the Punjab region of India. He's going to be speaking for us this week, so we're so glad to have him with us tonight. And Brother Andy informed me that it's his birthday tonight. So happy birthday. You know, some people declare a national holiday and they don't go to work, they don't do whatever, you know, because it's their birthday. This brother came to be with us on his birthday. So we appreciate that very much. And Brother Leo and Sister Evelyn Salazar, it's so nice to have them with us tonight. From Espanola, New Mexico. Brother Manuel and Sister Shannon Salazar. Brother Manuel will be speaking for us. God bless you. It's so nice to have you with us. Brother Flint and Sister Hannah Take, it's so nice to have you with us. And to be with you under other circumstances when the temperature is above zero, not below zero. And Brother Andrew and Sister Bernie Boy Scout also, it's so nice to have you with us. Brother Chris and Sister Joanna Long, thank you for coming. God bless you. I sent him our flyer, and he traded one right back, so we've got it on the board. You'll notice out there just coming up, he's got a lineup scheduled, six ministers, I believe, coming up here soon. So we certainly want to reciprocate, and you know, I'm glad that we're able to get together right now. It's been too long, and we want to just get as much as we can and soak it up. And so we're thankful for that tonight. So without further ado, we want to invite our brother Andy to come take his liberty tonight. Are you going to pull?
Amen.
How many believe that God is going to speak to you tonight?
Amen.
And that God is not a respecter of persons. He's a respecter of his word. So if we will pull in the gift that he sent, then the minister will be used by the Lord, and then the same Holy Spirit that's in him will be on the receiving end in you and will teach you what you're hearing. And then he'll interpret it by living it when we go out these doors. Amen. So we're not here just for head knowledge. We're here to be changed from glory to glory. And I believe that we're going to take another step here tonight. Amen. So as our brother Andy comes tonight, he counts the stars. Maybe we could stand if you don't mind. He counts the stars, one and all. Knows how much sand is on the shore. He sees each sparrow that falls. Made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything, of all creatures, great and small. He knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. He knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain and can't see the light of day. Well, I know I'll be just fine. He knows my name. How many believes that tonight? Amen. Don't know what tomorrow will bring. I can't tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things. I don't have all the answers to the questions of life, but I know in whom I have believed. He knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry.
Can we give him a hand clap of praise tonight? Hallelujah. Amen. We know everything's going to be fine when we place it in his hands. Amen. Hallelujah. My, we serve a mighty God tonight. Amen. Well, God bless you tonight. It's good to be here in service with you. And thank you, musicians. God bless you tonight. Just want to say I appreciate those specials tonight. Amen. Yes. Amen. Three beautiful young ladies singing for the Lord. Amen. And we just appreciate that. And we appreciate it because, you know, God, this isn't a spectator religion. Right? Everybody's got a part. This is a body move. Amen. Amen. And we don't come to church to be spectators. So we appreciate those that are willing to use their gifts and, you know, put themselves out there to be part of the service. Amen. But you can be part of the service tonight too. Amen. Hallelujah. We don't want spectators tonight. We want to enter in. Amen. How many wants to do that tonight? Amen. Amen. Why come out to church if you're not going to just enter in and Get something from God tonight. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just want to quickly greet our visitors tonight. Amen. God bless you. God bless all our visiting ministers here with us. I would love for any one of you to be up here tonight. Amen. But, you know, I was just thinking today a little bit on that, and we'll let you be seated in a moment. But just, you know, how sometimes we liken this to, you know, geese or ducks that are flying. And Brother Branham talked about the lead duck, you know, and he'd get up and lead the ducks out on their migration. And, you know, those birds, they'd get the bird in front. He's got to do all the work. All right, he's the one that's out in front, flapping the wings, breaking the wind for everybody else. And, you know, it may be that, you know, none of us, this is not our gospel, right? The word didn't come from us. It came to us. Amen. And we are under the headship of our messenger. And we are under the leadership of the Holy Ghost. But it takes somebody to get up there and flap and break the wind sometimes. Amen. So if that's all I can do tonight, maybe I'll just flap and flop, and hopefully we can create an atmosphere and somebody can get something from God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bible, let's just turn quickly to the scripture here tonight. I just want to read a couple verses and a quote from the message to kind of get us kicked off tonight. Amen. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 7. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. How many wants blessing from God? But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. Amen. Nothing wrong with the rain. Amen. The rain just brought forth the fruit. Amen. And in the message preparation, Brother Brown says, now, mother, you here in the stretcher, and this dear loving person, mother, here and here and all over the building. He's speaking to people that were in need, people that needed God to come on the scene for them. He said, what I want you to do tonight, by God's help, if he will let me, is to speak his word to you, and that'll prepare your heart for the healing service. Now, I want you to listen close, he says. Now, preparation. God, before he does anything, he always prepares for it. Amen. How could we, as it's spoken in the Bible, before we go to fight a war, first we have to prepare for that war. Right. And if you're going to get married, why, you prepare for that time. You have preparations. And before you come to church, you made preparations. Amen. Is there an amen in the house tonight? You made preparations. And we argued and fussed and came in with a bad spirit. No, that's not the preparations he's talking about, is it? He says maybe the ambulance brought you, or your loved one brought you, or you have a certain amount of money ready before you could come. It's preparations. And God is always prepares the people for the event that's just about to happen. Amen. And then one last one here in Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. He says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Amen. Amen. Tonight I want to title this, Let the Rain Fall on Us. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads tonight. Father, we are so thankful that we can come tonight, Lord. And Father, just hear your word, Lord. Enjoy, Lord, the singing of the songs of Zion, Lord, to fellowship with one another. But most of all, Lord, we thank you for your presence here tonight. And Lord, we want to surrender to you, Lord. We want to commit ourselves to you. And Father, I pray tonight, Lord, that you send down a rain, Lord. I pray that you would help us, Lord, as your word goes forth, Lord. To be ready, Lord, to be prepared, to be in anticipation, Lord. And that, Lord, that you would meet every need here tonight. That you would fill every hungry heart tonight. That you would answer every question tonight. That you would bless your people, Lord. And that you would minister through your word tonight. Lord, we're in your hands. Lord, we commit ourselves to you. We're yours tonight in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. Praise the Lord. So tonight we want to speak about spiritual rain. Amen. Spiritual rain that's been promised to us. We know that rain in the scripture is a symbol and it's a type of God pouring down life. Amen. Because rain gives life to the earth. And so when God's Spirit pours out, it's life-giving. Amen. It's a symbol of a blessing. It's a sign that God is with you. That He's providing your needs. Amen. When they received rain, it was needful. They needed it to live. And so when God provided the rain, it was showing that He was mindful of them. Amen. That He had His eye on the sparrow. Amen. That He had His eye on every child of God. And He was mindful of their needs. Amen. We know that one of the things that made Israel different than other nations, like especially Egypt. Egypt was a type of the world. Is that right? And Egypt got their rain, or their water, I should say, from the rivers and the irrigation. Man-made devices. But Israel had to rely on the rain from heaven. They had to rely on God providing their need in due season. Amen? That was how they survived. They had to trust God. They couldn't rely on their own, you know, their scientists and their engineers. Amen. They had to seek God for their very survival. Oh, rain is life. Amen. For a believer, rain of the Holy Spirit is life to us. Amen. We don't survive on dead seminars, amen, and dead lectures, but we survive on the living word. It's got to be alive. We can't drink from old dead cisterns. We can't drink from stagnant waters. Amen. We must have the living word that's brought to us by the Holy Ghost of God. That's the only way the believer survives. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. We need Him. Amen? Yes. He rules and reigns in our hearts. And by that, He pours out His blessings on our souls. Amen. That's how a true believer is made to live. Amen. They need that bubbling, flowing, refreshing water. Amen. Without that fresh experience, brother, sister, our experience becomes dry. It doesn't matter how well you are versed in the scripture or the message. It doesn't matter how long you've been in this thing. Without the Holy Ghost water in your life, you will become dry and sticky. Amen. Amen. The leaves of fellowship begin to curl up. We were just up in Sabino Canyon earlier this week, and we were looking at some of those plants that are like the crown of thorns. And you look carefully and you can see those giant thorns on there. And you can see how that leaf has been curled up. It got dry and it curled up until it became a thorn. Amen. That's what happens to a believer. Amen. Who isn't standing under the spout. Amen. We can't have a dry experience, brother, sister. I don't care how mature you are. But mature believers are not exempt from this. Amen. And as we like to say, there's no such thing as a mature Holy Ghost and a baby Holy Ghost. There's just the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. There isn't a Holy Ghost that makes you sit there and be dried up like a wart on a pickle. Right? There's only one Holy Ghost. And it's alive. It's living. Hallelujah. Mature believers aren't exempt. Amen. We must be as little children. Hallelujah. Amen. We heard some good mechanics last night. As our brother Doug said at the end, right? But we also need the dynamics. We've got to have the gas in the engine. You got to have the fire. Amen. For the engine to go. But brother, sister, the good news is that he does reign on us. Amen. He's still God. He's still providing tonight. We can still tonight in 2022 have an old-fashioned Holy Ghost-filled meeting. He's still filling believers. Amen. The power of God still rules and reigns in the hearts of believers. He still heals. He still blesses. Amen. The only thing that's changed is our expectation. Yes, sir. Amen. The Holy Spirit pours out on believers all over the world in meetings just like this. Amen. We believe that. We believe that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, there's another promise in the Bible that speaks about the bride as a whole that I want to spend a few minutes here tonight just kind of drawing through that in the scripture if we could. We'll try not to keep you too long tonight. I only have about 2 hours of notes, so we should be good. Why are you laughing? There's another promise that speaks of a former reign and a latter reign. Amen? And we know that the Lord is coming soon. And He knows that. The Lord is coming soon. We were nigh unto His coming in the 60s. How much closer are we now? We don't know. This might be World War III starting up right now. We don't know. If it isn't, it's going to come. Amen. These things are on the doorstep. But I'd like to read James chapter 5 and a couple of verses here. In James chapter 5, he says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord." Amen. That's where we are right now. Amen. He says, "Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth." Now, in this case, the husbandman is God. Amen. "And hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." Amen. So this concept of the former and latter rains, they're mentioned several times in the scripture. And I want you to think about that scripture, though. If we place God there as the husbandman, who has his waiting, it says, for the precious fruit of the earth. Oh, hallelujah. You say, "Oh, I'm nothing. I'm nobody." This is you. Precious fruit of the earth. He planted some seeds. Hallelujah. And he's not the kind of farmer, you know, the farmers, you know, I've planted seeds and grown things. And sometimes, man, you just spread that seed everywhere. You get that seed and you just let it go, right? But God knew every single seed. Amen. We sang that song, "He Knows My Name." He plants that seed. He knows your name. He knew every seed and right where it went. And He predestinated the bed that it would be planted in. He predestinated your parents and your grandparents and your great-grandparents and the DNA that would be passed down. Amen. He predestinated those that would be around the seed. Oh, He knows all about it, brother, sister. But here's the beautiful part. Because He knows every seed that was planted, every single one is going to bear fruit. And it's going to bear the fruit that's precious to Him, that He's expecting. Amen. Amen. The Bible says that the word goes forth and it won't bring forth void. Well, every one of those seeds is part of that word. And it's going to bring forth exactly what he has determined. Amen. Oh, brother, sister, we should have such confidence tonight. Amen. Our God is a mighty God. Amen. But so in this scene, he's planting the seeds, and there's a former rain and a latter rain. And all that really means is the time of year, the type of rain that would come in those in that area in Palestine. They would, in the fall, they would plant, and the former rain would come to help them plant the crops. Because the after the summer and the fall, the ground might be hard, and so the rain would come and break up that soil so that it could be planted. And then later on the harvest time, and here our harvest time is like in the fall, so it's kind of backwards, right? But there in the fall, in the harvest time, it was this time of year, March, April. And the rains would come at the beginning of the harvest for the final nourishment of the crop. It was the harvest rain. It was the last rain that the crop needed. Amen. As it transitioned from a plant to fruit. Amen. So that latter rain, it right before the crops would be white to harvest, that's when that latter rain would come. Now we know this is the season we are in. We are in the harvest time. Is that right? We are in the speaking of the bride, the called out church of the living God. We are in the place now where the seed is coming ripe. And it takes the latter rain to provide the final nourishment to the plant, to the harvest. Amen. I want to read you just a couple statements here from the Message quickly here out of the Pergamean church age. He says, our forefathers left this land to worship and live in freedom. And they pushed back the natives and took over the land. And many mighty men like Washington and Lincoln were raised up. But after a while, other men of such poor caliber succeeded these worthy men, that soon an Ahab was set in the presidential chair with a Jezebel behind him to direct him. Yep. What year was this? Man, this... My. Where are we now? It is at such a time as this that the messenger of Malachi must come. Then in the latter rain will come a Mount Carmel showdown. Watch this carefully now to see it in the Word. John was the forerunner of Malachi 3. He planted the former rain and was rejected by the organizations of his day. Jesus came and had a Mount Transfiguration showdown. The second forerunner of Christ will sow for the latter rain. Jesus will be the showdown between the denominations and creeds, for he will come back. He will come to back up his word and take his bride in the rapture. The first showdown was Mount Carmel. The second was Mount Transfiguration. And the third will be the Mount Zion showdown. Amen. In the latter rain. Amen. The invisible union of the bride of Christ. He said the word promises is this: it shall come to pass before the great and terrible day of the Lord shall come. Behold, I will send unto you Elijah the prophet. He shall turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. And it shall come to pass in the last days, I will pour out my spirit from on high. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. The former and latter rain shall come together in the last days. All these promises through the scriptures has been given. We are looking upward and watching the true bride across the nation this hour. Looking up. Church, he is coming one of these days. Just as sure as he come the first time, he's coming again. Listen to his admonition. Get ready. Get everything ready. Separate yourselves from the shuck. Lay before the sun and keep looking up. and be under expectation. So that's what we want to speak about tonight. We should be under expectation. We should be in preparation. Amen? This is a time for the bride to make herself ready. Well, you didn't know that. This wasn't just the time to be playing around and enjoying life and doing your own thing. No, this is the time to get ready. We've been given a space of time. Amen? We've been given an opportunity. The Bible says that the bride hath made herself ready. Amen? Remember that quote we read right at the beginning? God always prepares the people for events that are about to happen. That's what's happening now. We're getting ready, brother, sister, for the greatest event. Amen to ever hit the face of the earth. Oh, hallelujah. As individuals, we must prepare ourselves. Amen. This anointing, this latter rain, is the anointing on the church. But as individuals, we must prepare ourselves for the rain. Amen. Hallelujah. We must be in revival. We must be alive. If we're going to receive anything from God, we've got to be in expectation. You know, our pastor, God put on our pastor's heart to have these meetings. Amen? That is how God leads a local body. That's how he does it. And so that means that he wants to do something. He has a purpose. Amen? This is not just, you know, to get together for food and fellowship and music, and we enjoy those things. But God has a purpose in these meetings, brother, sister. Amen? And what you get out of the meetings is directly tied to your expectation. Every service when you come, your preparation, how you're seeking God, what your attitude toward the word that's being preached. Amen? It's directly tied to your attitude. Our hearts must be ready to receive it. Amen? Hallelujah. We have to let the Holy Spirit search our hearts. Amen? We have to let God search out open every door. Amen? We can't hold any part of our hearts back. Lord, search my heart. Our hearts are like fields. Lord, break up the stony places. Lord, make me a field that's ready to receive from you. What is our expectation, brother, sister? What do you expect from these meetings? Are you meeting with God? Are you going to rise up higher? Amen. Are you going to get an attitude that the devil's not going to keep me back from my blessings? Nothing's going to stop me. I have a need. I want to touch the master tonight. And I'm not going to let anything hold me back. Hallelujah. There's a Holy Spirit tonight that wants to rain down on his children. Amen. And I want to get under that spout. I want some of that rain. Amen. I'm not going to let anything stop me. Amen. When you get that kind of expectation, brother, sister. Amen. You're going to get something from God. That's what he's looking for tonight. Hallelujah.
Oh, glory. Let me read that scripture again that we read at the beginning, Hosea 10:12. I want to emphasize that tonight again. He says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, and break up your fallow ground. It's time to seek the Lord. Seek him till he comes and rains on you. Rains righteousness upon you. Hallelujah. Before a farmer can enjoy the harvest, he has a lot of work to do. Amen? The harvest is just the last part of it. But there's a whole bunch of work. There's a whole lot of preparation that goes in, and a lot of it's even before the planting. And receiving a spiritual harvest in your soul, in your heart tonight, it's no different. It takes work. I'm not talking about being justified by your works. What I'm talking about is it takes work to die out. It takes work to break up the stony places in your heart. Amen? It takes work to prepare yourself. Now he uses a word there that maybe you're not familiar with. He says, break up the fallow ground. And fallow ground is just ground that hasn't been in use. It hasn't been tilled or it hasn't been planted. It's just lying dormant. And many times fallow ground has thorns and thistles and weeds and all kinds of things growing up in it. But what he's saying is take that ground, that part of your life that has gone unused and untapped and unsurrendered. That part you've been holding back from God. Amen. Plow it over. Get in there and break up the weeds. Amen. Maybe there's pretty flowers there. Amen. You say, oh, but these pretty flowers, I can't let go of this in my life. Those pretty flowers need to be plowed under. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, because there's a greater seed coming.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Amen, we've got to be consecrated, fully surrendered. Amen. Got a part of your life that's lying dormant, unfruitful? Amen. Let's take a plow to it tonight. You know what a plow does? A plow turns the soil upside down.
Yeah.
Goes in there and cuts and takes something that was lying under the surface and brings it out into the light. Amen? Deals with it. Cuts it up. And then you know what they do after they plow it? Then they bring like a disc and a harrow. Then they bring things to break up the big clods. They pulverize it. Oh my.
Amen.
Let's let the word shine a light tonight on every part of our lives. You know, when you confess something to God, you aren't informing him of anything. Amen. Amen. All you're doing is, you know, you're surrendering. You're saying, Lord, I know you know this, but we need to do that. We need to confess. Amen. Amen. And let him come and take that plow and just turn our lives upside down. But once the field is ready and it's got seed planted, then it needs some rain.
Yes, sir.
Amen. But then it can take it. You see, when the ground is hard, and we ought to know this in Arizona, right? When the ground has been hard and dry and the rain comes, what does it do? It just runs off of it. Just washes off. That's why we have washes. Right? Because the water just washes down the wash and it's gone. But when it's broken up and soft, when it's surrendered, amen, when it's gentle, and it's saying, Lord, have thy way. Amen. Then when the rain comes, oh, brother, sister, then it just soaks it in. It just soaks down deep. Amen. Gets down into that aquifer and oh my, then it supplies. Amen. Then the trees and the fruit and everything can live and survive off of it. Amen. But if you're hard, all you got is dryness and all you're going to have is cactus. We like cactus all right, I suppose, but we don't want to be a cactus tonight. Amen. We want to be a tree that's planted by rivers of living water. Hallelujah. But you know, how much of a harvest the farmer receives is directly related to how much of the field he prepares. Right? If he just takes a field and he just takes a little corner of it and he goes, yeah, I don't know if this seed is really going to produce anything anyway. I don't really want to go through the effort. I'm just going to, you know, maybe we'll just do a little corner of the field. Right? That's all I feel like doing tonight. It's a Thursday night. It's, you know, we'll just do a little corner of the field. And amen. But if you do that faithfully, he'll bless it. Amen. But why do that when you can have the whole field of blessings? Amen. That's expectation, brother, sister. Oh, hallelujah. What are we expecting tonight? Amen. Let me take you back to the Old Testament to a scripture here. In 2 Kings chapter 4. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the son of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. So she was in a bad condition. Her husband was dead, and the creditors were coming to take her sons as slaves, as payment. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thy handmaid hath not anything in the house. She didn't have much, right? Save a pot of oil. She was poor. And then he said, we can work with that. Hallelujah. Whatever little you got tonight, you give it to God. Amen. He can work with it. So he said, go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. We're not talking one or two here. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and her sons. He brought the vessels unto her, and she poured out. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more.
Praise the Lord.
And the oil stayed.
Amen.
The oil didn't run out.
Amen.
Amen. It was only limited by their ability to hold it. Oh, hallelujah. She came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay thy debt. Live thou and thy children of the rest. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Elijah said, go prepare for a blessing. God's going to bless you. But you need to be ready for it. You got to be ready to receive it.
Amen.
And how ready you are to receive it is how much you're going to get. Amen. Because the source ain't going to run out. Oh, hallelujah. Now, God didn't provide the vessels for her. Right? Elijah didn't just speak the word and all of a sudden there were all these vessels. She had to do that. That was work that she had to do. That was her part. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Her part is our part tonight, brother, sister. He was going to pour out a blessing. So she had to collect every vessel she could, and they had to be empty. Amen. There were no use to her if they had something in it. That's what he's looking for tonight. He's looking for empty vessels. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, she probably went to borrow vessels, and they said, oh, yeah, we got this one, and this one's, you know, this one's got some nice stuff in it. You could take that stuff, too. You could have that. No, I only want empty vessels. There might be vessels full of dirt. There might have been vessels full of precious things. Amen. But it didn't matter. What he was looking for was an empty vessel. Amen. Oh, brother, sister, too often we want to bring our vessels with full of all of our stuff. Amen. We want to bring our own strength and our own ideas. We want to bring our own abilities. We want to bring our own thoughts. Amen. We've got our vessels all filled up. But he's not looking to fill full vessels. Amen. He's here tonight to fill empty vessels. So that's part of the preparation. Not vessel looks like it's empty, but it's got some dirt in the bottom of it. Clean it out. Get it cleaned out. Amen. We don't want anything in there that's going to reduce the ability of it to hold the oil. Amen. Brother, sister, many times that's why we're not at an old-fashioned altar. Amen. We come down to an old-fashioned altar to die out and empty our vessel. Empty the vessel so that he can fill it. That's the point. Amen. That's sometimes why it takes some time. Why it takes some crying. Takes some dying. It takes denying. Amen. So that he can fill. Sometimes we wonder, why isn't the Holy Ghost come? Maybe we're seeking the baptism. Why isn't it come yet? Well, maybe you just need to get empty. Maybe you're just too full of the things of life, things of the world, things of the flesh. It don't matter what's in it, it must be empty. That's how we receive the Holy Ghost. That's how we receive the rain tonight. Amen. Let me read to you tonight from Perfect Strength by Perfect Weakness. I love how he puts this. God's strategy. Hallelujah. Amen. The greatest general that ever lived. Let's talk about his strategy for war tonight. God's strategy is to take empty human vessels and shake the world with them. Amen. He says, now just a little bit and we'll go. He says, like at Pentecost. At Pentecost, what did he do? It taken them 10 days to get all emptied up. I know, brother, sister, when I was seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it took some time for me to get emptied up. Amen? It was a struggle. It was a death to self. It was a dying out, a pouring out, a checking up. I had to get emptied out. He said it taken them 10 days to get all emptied up. But they was all standing there with their vessels turned up. Oh, hallelujah. And God himself, or God took himself and filled them up. That's all. And they shook the world. Hallelujah. He says that's the need of today. That's what we need today is the empty vessels. Yes, sir. So God can fill them up. Look, he says, you cannot take them. He says, I got to bypass a lot here. God cannot use them as long as they're already filled up. So if you're full of theological training, God can't use you. God's got to have empty vessels so he can fill them. Elijah didn't say, oh, go get some vessels and borrow a lot of oil and we'll see if we can get a good sale price on it. And you'll get a little more and you can pay the neighbor back like that. He said, just get the empty vessels. That's all you need. That's what it was at Pentecost. They had empty vessels so God could fill them up. Brother, this day demands that. Amen. Right here now, on the edge of the coming of the Lord, this day demands this. He says, this day's got to have that. We'll have that or perish. We could say this is life or death. He says, I'm going to close now. Listen, we've got to have that or perish. Brother, sister, that's what he's looking for tonight. He's looking for empty vessels. This is not a time to be playing around, flirting with the world. Little in here, little out there. It's time to be all in. It's a time of preparation. It's a time of consecration. The difference between the wise and the foolish, those that went in and those that did not, was one was ready. She had gone down to an old-fashioned altar, died out and gotten filled. She had emptied out completely and let God fill her. The others only went part way. Amen? They had a part of it, but they didn't empty out completely. They didn't let him come in and fill them. Time is short, brother, sister. Amen. We must realize this. This is what the enemy is trying to put a sleep on us. And he's trying, you know, part of his lie is, well, you know, it's just this and another day and another meeting. And we go on and it's a grind and a treadmill and it's all, it's the same. It's not. Every day is a gift. Every day is an opportunity. Every moment that we have, it's a chance for us to be filled. It's a chance for us to draw closer. It's a chance for us to be ready. Luke chapter 12, verse 35. He said, let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. Amen. I want to have my light burning. And you yourselves, like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, that they may open unto him immediately. Why? Because they were up and waiting and ready. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and will make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. And if he come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. And then 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, both of those scriptures use a phrase, gird up your loins. Amen? Gird up your loins. It has like no meaning to us today. Somebody said that to you on the street, you look at him like he was a little weird and you might walk a little faster. Right? Come on now, be honest. But gird up your loins. You see, in those days they would wear long hanging garments, loose garments. They would be down low around their legs and flowing, right? And so whenever there was a call to action or an immediate event, they would say, gird up your loins. Take all those garments, all those loose ends, anything that you could get entangled with, anything that might slow you down. Take them all and they take them and tuck them up under their belt so that they could run and not trip. Amen. Because there's a battle on. There's an enemy at the gate. They'd say, gird up your loins. The enemy is here. Let's go out to meet him. And so they do that. Amen. So that all the loose ends would be tied up. Amen. They wouldn't get tangled up. That they could run and they could fight and they could be ready. This is a call for spiritual preparation for a coming challenge.
Amen.
Amen. Gird up your loins. Get ready. There's something coming. You need to be ready for it. If you aren't ready, it's going to catch you off guard. You might trip. You might fall. You might get tangled up. You might be killed. Oh, let's not lose sight of the time that we live in, brother, sister. Get rid of the entanglements of the flesh. Amen. Tie up the loose parts of our lives. Don't let anything hinder us. Let's go on tonight. Amen. Amen. Just a few more quotes here tonight. Quickly here, Azusa Jubilee. He says, oh, what a picture, what a time. I don't want to keep you long, and I don't either. But I'll tell you, friends, what we need today is some good... Look at what he says, though. I don't want to keep you long. But what we need today is some good, old-fashioned, long-staying meetings. Why, back in the early days when I read the books of early Pentecost, they preached all night and prayed all night. What a time that was. And while we've fallen away, God just is willing to pour out his Holy Spirit on the audience today as he was at any other time through the age. God's got every rain barrel full if you've got a heart to receive it tonight. Oh, hallelujah. You see what the difference is? It's expectation. Amen. It's on the receiving side. From the message, let us see God. He says, oh, I think that that's a most beautiful time. When the rain has washed all the dirt off the trees. And they all look so pretty and green in their original colors. And all the flowers are pretty, and the atmosphere is low, and it brings the smell of the rose out. Here it's the mesquite. No, the creosote. Thank you. The creosote. Oh, we could have the smell of a rose after rain. That'd be nice. We got creosote. It's just a beautiful time after. We still enjoy it, though. We still love it. I think it somehow reminds me after a revival when the Holy Spirit has come in. Oh, brother, sister. Washed all the dust out. God has just sweetened again before the Lord. Oh, just don't you want that tonight? Just to stand in the presence like I am this afternoon. Just bathing here in the presence of the Lord Jesus. The Holy Spirit taking all doubts and fears and things away from us. And we stand together. Amen. That unity that our brother was speaking about last night, that's what brings it. Amen. It's a unity of the Spirit. Amen. It's a unity in the Word. Amen. Amen. He brings the unity. We unite with Him. Amen. And then by uniting with Him, we unite with each other. Standing together after a shower from heaven has filled our souls. Brother, sister, isn't that worth a little bit of dying out tonight to get that? Isn't that worth a little bit of sacrifice of praise? Isn't that worth just pressing through just a little bit? You know, one time David stood out there and he wanted a drink of that well at Bethlehem. Amen. And those mighty men that were with him, they thought it was worth it.
That's right.
They said that's worth it. My king wants a drink. I will go out there. They cut through 15 miles of Philistines and enemies, chopping their way through just to get their king a drink of that cold water. Brother Branham said that Jesus is wanting a cool drink of Pentecost tonight. Amen. He wants Amen. He wants his children to receive the rain. But sometimes you got to cut through unbelief to get to it. Sometimes there's a demon sitting right there on that well. Amen. And he's not going to move until you move him. Amen. You come down to an altar and there's a demon sitting right there with you. At least there has been every time I have. Amen. And maybe there's one on each side. One for each ear. Amen. And they're telling you, what are you doing here? Your knees are tired. I'm going to make your foot fall asleep. Everybody's looking at you. Why are you up here? Did you know that they're probably thinking, why are they up there? Come on, don't tell me that I'm the only one. You got to cut through that. Amen. Because what Brother Branham here is describing, the presence of the Lord, bathing in his presence, being washed and clean and the fresh smell of roses, amen. It's worth it. It's worth it tonight, amen. And brother, sister, it's up to you. You decide. Amen. Am I going to expect it? Am I going to press into it? Or am I just going to go home and say, well, that was nice, another service. Maybe, I wonder what tomorrow night's going to be. Amen. It's up to you. You know, one time Israel was in a war. Speaking of desert, they were in the desert in a war. They were fighting, or they were on their way to fight. And they found themselves stranded in the desert with no water. And we know what that's like, right? That's certain death. They were on the road. They were pressing the battle, right? But they were stuck. No water. That was certain death, certain defeat. And the prophet of God, they called the prophet of God, and the prophet of God told them, dig some ditches in the desert. And they were in that valley. You remember the story. You Bible readers know what I'm talking about, right? We don't have time to read it tonight. Dig some ditches in this valley. And he said, you're not going to hear wind. You're not going to see rain. But this valley is going to fill with water. But it's not going to do you any good unless you dig some ditches to catch it. It's just going to wash off and going to be gone. Amen? Let me just read to you two more quotes. Is that all right? From separation from unbelief, he says, Elisha got in the spirit, and God began to show him some things. And if you want to really get to see some things, get in the spirit. Amen. And the first thing you know, when he got in the spirit, well, all of a sudden he raised up and said, thus saith the Lord, I want you to go out there and dig this whole valley full of ditches. It was a desert, parched, just like between here and South Mountain. So he's preaching in Phoenix, so, right? I want you to dig it all full of ditches. For thus saith the Lord, you're not going to see any winds or thunders or hear anything, but these ditches will be filled full of water in the morning. Amen. Thus saith the Lord. Amen. Now, he says that looked ridiculous to the carnal mind. And you dying out, amen, and emptying your vessel looks ridiculous. And it feels ridiculous. Amen. But that's God's way. He says, well, Elisha, surely if you want to get us some water, you're going to tell us to drill around here. We're digging these ditches because we're digging a well, right? Right? That's their thinking. But he said, get out there in the driest place there is and start digging some ditches. You see, there ain't no water yet. It ain't going to be able to throw, sand out, but you're making ready for water.
Right.
Amen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for because the word of God said it.
Amen.
Believe it anyhow.
Amen.
No matter what takes place, what your mind tries to say, if God said it, let the mind that was in the one that said it be in you.
Amen.
Look at what he says. Get ready.
Amen.
Get ready. Next one, he says, I say that same smitten rock tonight is here. And it'll pour forth an old-fashioned Holy Ghost revival that'll tear Shreveport apart. If you people will go to digging. Brother, sister, it'll do the same tonight. He hasn't changed one bit. If we'll go to digging. He says, move all the difficulties out. If you dig up against one thing, the beer cans and the icebox, throw it out and make way for the Holy Ghost. Every time you hit a snag, throw the thing out. The deeper that you dig, the more water you'll get. So what you have to do is you have to make a way for it. No matter how much preaching there is, I could preach here all night. But if you don't take this word and walk into it, it's not going to matter. No matter how much preaching there is, how many visions there are, even if the prophet himself stood here tonight, even if Jesus stood here tonight, it's still up to you. You've got to receive it. You've got to expect it. You've got to make your heart ready for it. He says, no matter how many visions there are, the subject was then, and the main principle was, make ready for the water. Get the ditches dug. That's what we got to do tonight. Amen. Is make way for the Holy Ghost to pour down. Amen. That's what we got to do. Does anybody want to do that tonight? Amen. Amen? That's what we got to do tonight, is to make way for the Holy Ghost to pour down. Make it in your house. Make it in your church. Make it in yourself. Kick everything out of the way. Get ready. There's coming a gusher. Oh, hallelujah. There's coming a gusher if you'll get ready for it. Listen to this. If you don't make ready for it, you'll never see it. Why? Because this isn't a natural rain. This is a spiritual rain. Amen. You sit there with a hard heart. You're sitting there, you know, not expecting. You're just waiting for the service to be over. He's not going to move on you. You'll never see it. Now, it's up to the church tonight. Whoa, wait a minute. We put it all in him. No, it's up to the church tonight. Look at what he says. He says, we got a nice tent here. We got a nice pew, churches, seats. We got nice people. Got nice singing. We got a wonderful Savior. But he says, lay aside everything. Every sin that does so easily beset you. You see, Israel in the desert was desperate. They knew it was life and death. The problem is, in this Laodicean age, is that sometimes we don't know that it's life and death. We don't realize how precarious, how important this is. Maybe you're in that place tonight. Maybe you're like Israel. You're fighting the good fight, but you've come to a dry place. Stranded in a desert. Maybe your experience feels dry tonight. Oh, brother, sister, when was the last time you had a good crying, bawling, squalling time in his presence? When was the last time? You know you need a refreshing. Oh, has it been a long time since you've been under that glory spout? He's here tonight. Maybe you've never experienced it. Maybe you're seeking that tonight for the first time. He's here. He's here tonight for you. He promised. He's the same. He hasn't changed. We read all the quotes. I read to you the scriptures. He's the same tonight. But it depends on us tonight. Depends on the church. Depends on the body. It depends on you. What are you going to do? What's your expectation? Are you going to jump down and just jump down into that ditch, grab a shovel, and start digging?
Right.
Start digging some ditches tonight.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Start praying through.
Amen.
Start cutting through some demons.
Amen.
Start chopping out some unbelief.
Amen.
Amen. Let the plow of the Holy Ghost come through your field tonight.
Amen.
Break up those rough places.
Right.
Prepare the ground. Prepare the way.
Yes.
Let's start digging tonight. Amen.
Yes.
Let him do the rest.
Amen.
He said he would.
Right.
Do you believe him?
Yes.
Is he faithful?
Yes.
Does he want to do it?
Yes.
Amen. What's your expectation then?
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight.
Hallelujah.
Brother, sister, let's make a way for the Holy Ghost to pour down.
Yes.
Amen. Sometimes it's a step of faith. It's a step of faith. Brother Branham even said that when it was came to digging those ditches, it didn't make a bit of sense. Think about it. They're out in the desert. And they're digging ditches for water. It doesn't make any sense. But it's faith that says, you know what? God's got something for me in this meeting tonight. God's got something for me in these special meetings. I'm going to make my heart ready. I'm not going to let my blessing pass by. I'm going to be ready. I'm going to step out on faith. I'm going to receive. Amen. And then, brother, sister, don't get discouraged. Amen. When we're digging sometimes and you hit a root. Amen. You hit a hard place. Brother Brown says, just take it and throw it out. Don't get discouraged. Keep going. That's the time to press in.
Amen.
The dirt symbolizes our flesh, in case you didn't realize that. And the more that we can remove, the more he can fill.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So the question tonight, how much water do you want? Amen. How much of the Holy Ghost do you want?
Amen.
How much of the rain do you want to receive?
Yes, sir.
The deeper you dig, the more water you get.
Amen.
Amen. Let's bow our heads. Oh, Father, how we love you tonight, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would help us tonight, Lord. Lord, even as we just receive this simple little word, God, that you put on my heart, Lord. Lord, as your people receive it and accept it and say, Lord, I want more of you, Lord. I don't want to be dry, Lord. I don't want my experience to dry up like a thorn in the desert. Lord, I want to be full of life. I want that living water, Lord, pouring through my life. Making everything green and making everything lovely. God, I want more of that tonight. Lord, I pray that you would just bless your people tonight. I pray that you would just move and, Lord, help us, Lord, to dig in and move aside every hindrance, Lord, tonight. Lord, to press through the flesh, Lord. Press through weariness, oh God. Press through every hindering spirit, Lord. God, press through to an old-fashioned pouring out, Lord. Because we need you, Lord. We know that's what's needed in this hour. Lord, we know the time is short. We know you're calling for a church that will gird up their loins, that will not be hindered, Lord, that will move forward, oh God. I pray that you would help us tonight to step forward. Lord, to step forward by faith as children of the living God, part of the army of the living God. Lord, we know that's what's needed to cut away fleshy unbelief, Lord, out of our lives. Lord, to let you have your way, to let the Spirit of God pour down upon us, to fill us, Lord, with overflowing. I pray that you pour out the rain tonight, oh God. Lord, come and just flush out all the dirt and the grime, oh God. Flush away, oh God, worldliness, Lord. Flush away doubt, Lord. Flush away unbelief. Lord, wash us by the water of the word tonight. May your Spirit, oh God, just defeat every demon power in the building tonight. Lord, may your children receive it, I pray. Oh God, may they surrender to you, Lord. I pray that you help each one, oh God. Maybe they're holding back tonight. May they not hold back in their hearts, Lord. May they throw open every door in their heart, oh God, every part of their life. Oh, hallelujah. May they surrender completely to you, Lord. Oh, God, I know, Lord, that you will bless, Lord. You will pour out your Spirit. Lord, you've always done it. That's what you're looking for tonight. You're looking for a surrendered heart. You're looking for an empty vessel, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, we're holding our vessels up to you tonight. Oh, God, I pray you come and fill them, Lord. Oh, glory. Lord, we're holding them up to you, Lord. Help us, Lord, just to empty them out, Lord. I bring nothing, Lord. I bring nothing of my own goodness, Lord. Nothing of my own righteousness or strength, Lord. But I hold up my empty vessel to you, oh God. Lord, I'm asking you to fill it tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, brother, sister, just raise your hands to him tonight. Amen. Press into worship tonight. Amen. Press in. Dig some ditches tonight. Press in tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. He wants to fill you. He wants to bless you. Oh, that's his desire. That's his strategy in this age, is to fill empty vessels. Oh, he's just looking for someone tonight. He's looking for a willing vessel. Hallelujah. Oh, don't deny your King tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, let him have his way tonight, church. Amen. Let him have his way tonight. Oh, glory. Glory to your name, Lord. How we love you, Jesus. Lord, you're so worthy, Lord. Oh, God, we want to be ready, Lord. Yes, oh, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, just worship him tonight, church. Each one in your own way. Just press in tonight. Don't let this moment pass by. There's an opportunity right now. Amen. While the anointing is here, the Spirit is here. Don't pass it by tonight. Amen. Don't miss your chance. Amen. To have your cup filled tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Oh, how we love you, Jesus. How we love you, Lord. Oh, glory. Amen. Just praise him tonight, church. Amen. He's worthy. Think about what he's done for you. Isn't he worthy tonight? Hallelujah. He's worthy. Oh, he's a mighty God. He's worthy of our praise tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. That's what we need tonight. An old-fashioned pouring out. Amen. An old-fashioned consecrating and dying out. An old-fashioned crying out to God tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Glory to your name, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, don't be a spectator tonight, brother, sister. Amen. Oh, just press right in. This is for you tonight. It's for you tonight. Don't let the devil talk you out of your blessing tonight. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, glory to your name, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we all need him tonight, brother, sister. We need more of him. him tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, don't you need more of him tonight? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Glory to your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, let's just let him wash us tonight, brother, sister. Let's just let him have his way. Oh, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's sing that song. Lord, my heart is open. Won't you come inside? Fill up all my being, ever to abide. Hallelujah. Is that your prayer tonight? Amen. Amen. Can I have the key? Lord, my heart is open. Is that your prayer tonight? Won't you come inside? Fill up all my being. Let's open our hearts to him tonight. I've thrown wide every door. Let this be your prayer tonight. Come inside, dear Lord. I need you more and more and more. The heart that says, I need you more, is the most blessed heart. Because he's here to give you more tonight. If you're sitting there satisfied tonight, I'd be worried. I'd be concerned. But if your heart is crying, oh Lord, I need you more. He promised to meet you and supply every need tonight. Let's sing it again. Lord, my heart is open.